Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK's Bills podcast. It's Bills News with a UK twist. I am Matt. I have Alex with me as always. Alex, how you been?
We ordered donuts from Crosstown Donuts in London on Friday. They're supposed to be delivered on Friday. We didn't get them until Monday. Let me just tell you, nobody likes three-day-old donuts.
Why did you order donuts from...
Well, here's the thing. All right, so we've been in quarantine for 14 days since we got back from Buffalo. We're bored. We're just buying things. Just not even thinking about it. I bought like a bunch of records and she bought some donuts. It was going to be exciting. But then they didn't show up and that was awful. And then they did. And obviously they're bad. So 14 day quarantine, miserable. Donuts, didn't get them, miserable. But today I'm free. Today I get to go outside. Today is the end of the quarantine. I'm going to go for a walk after this. It's going to be great.
You're going to take one step outside and go, oh, shit, let me back inside. I want back inside. I don't like it outside. It's too light, too airy.
The highlight of my 14-day quarantine was taking the garbage to the corner, let me tell you. It was just nice to be able to get outside.
Oh, dearie me. Well,
other than that, I'm fine. The Bills have given me no reason to be upset with the 53-man roster cuts. The Trey White signing is beautiful, and the season is upon us, just a few more days away, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so as it's, what, Sunday? When we record this, Tuesday, it's, what, about 5 days away? Probably less if you're listening to this a couple of days later, but yes, season here, nearly the Jets, who are in a bit of turmoil, but we're going to go and talk about the roster now. People already know what the roster's like and all the makeup. Is there any surprises in there for you?
Well, I think the reason why we didn't do a 53-man roster prediction was because we knew exactly what was going to happen. Mm. This roster is so strong, there wasn't much room for anyone to sneak on. The biggest among them was Delshon Phillips. And I think that's just because the linebacking core is a little shallow. I think maybe you and I, pretty much everybody, expected Vosan Joseph to make it over him. But honestly, we didn't have eyes on camp, so we don't know who did better than who. So we just got to trust the decision makers on this. And I think that you and I will agree, it's very easy to trust any decision that they make, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised. Especially they cut Corey Thompson as well. I mean, he played last season for a fair amount of games. I'm surprised he's actually gone. What they see in Delshon is actually is a special teams prowess. I think, judging by some of these moves that they've made on here, they're looking to actually strengthen up that special team. I think that's what they've disguised as their weakness, and they're doing all they can to Ash Duick. I mean, let's say you've got Delshon Phillips on there. You've got, I don't know, who else you're looking at? You're looking at Tywan Jones coming in. Andre Roberts, they actually re-signed after being initially being cut, so they can stash Hodgins onto IR. So it looks like they're prioritizing special teams, which I think is good, because if you can get that sorted, you can get a lot more done and actually focus on that half, knowing that your offense and defense are actually are that good that you don't have that much depth. You don't need to worry too much about an injury. You just do the next man up. And with the, especially on the O-line and D-line, where you've got all that versatility, it's going to come very, very much into effect, into hand. So you're not going to have that much chopping and changing going, oh, shoot, we've actually lost. We've lost Quinton Spain. What's going to happen? How can we do this? Where you've got a couple of the guys that can play multiple positions that just drop in just like a click of a finger.
Did we allow a kickoff or punt return for a touchdown last year? I don't think we did.
No.
But I can still remember seeing situations and times where the coverage let up a few extra yards than I would have liked. But like I said, it's there's not three phases of the game. You know, it's like special teams is like 20% of the game. So maybe even less than that. So I'm not too concerned about what happens on that side of the ball. It would be nice if we got a kick return or punt return for a touchdown. So maybe we got some guys in there who are better blockers, and maybe that's why Phillips made it over Boshan Joseph. But yeah, other than that, you mentioned the IR placement of Hodgins, and we also put DeMarco on IR, which allowed us to bring back Andre Roberts and Dean Marlowe, who were probably the only surprise cuts. So yeah, not really much to talk about here. Like I said, the roster is so strong, you know. There wasn't anyone who was like, well, what's going to happen this year? Which is what it's been like for how many years, right? Yeah. Like, this is a solid roster. There's a lot to look forward to. I guess the one thing that I would ask for you is your camp crush, Reggie Gillum. So he makes the team. Hybrid fullback tight end role. Tight end is deep, so I'd expect him to be more at fullback. What do you think?
I think that's exactly what they're doing. It's what we spoke to when we spoke to Matt Perino in the last episode, where he's actually said that it's more likely, obviously with DeMarco, is he going to be out for the whole season, or are they going to bring him back after the 6 weeks, depending on how bad his injury is. There's now like an open audition for Reggie. So can he get that work in? He's obviously had praise from McDermott and everyone on there, and the way he's actually progressed and actually brought into the game as coming in as an undrafted. I can see him getting a lot of snaps, whether they be effective or not on there. But I think I see it like Matt Perino said, it's almost like a 6 week trial for him just to get him to acclimatize, see if they've got anything good in there. So if they've got anything good for him, they'll actually they'll release him and bring him straight back onto that practice squad.
Right.
If they have to, if they get bring DeMarco up.
I would imagine DeMarco might need some time to get back into game shape anyway. So it'll probably be maybe 7 or 8 games for Gillum.
It could even be a case that we see the last of Patrick DeMarco. Because he's in contract year on this one.
You know, he's a guy who wore a C on his jersey, but other than that, you know, no real impact on the field. He's a deep threat target of Josh Allen, which bothers me. So hopefully we don't ever see that again.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, a couple of other names that actually got cut that have now been put back on the practice squad, which I'm kind of interested why they actually did that and had gone only with, at the time, 4 cornerbacks, then 5, was obviously the cut of Cam Lewis and Dane Jackson, who gone back onto the practice squad. Because at the time, they were struggling with Josh Norman's hamstring and Levi Wallace as well with his hamstring. So you're having Trey White, Teron Johnson, and Saron Neal. Obviously, Saron Neal can play hybrid, can play that safety role as well. But why would you keep actually Jackson, Cam Lewis? You should have kept them on there. But they have a plan. Brandon Bean has a plan. And I know I was in discussion with a couple other people, obviously the whole Jake Fromm, why they kept him.
Well, back to the corners real quick. I mean, we know that with the new practice squad rules, these guys – Dane Jackson, Cam Lewis will probably see game action sometime during the season. And it'll be, you know, so it's not like any of the cuts that are back on the practice squad, like they shouldn't really even feel cut because, you know, they're probably going to see game action, except for maybe the wide receivers that are on the practice squad, like Duke Williams. I can't imagine, barring injury for anyone, he gets his way back on the roster. But honestly, I mean, injuries do happen, so maybe we'll see Duke again. But yeah, where were you going next?
It was Jake Fromm. I mean, I've had other conversations with our mate Chris Spencer on this one, why they kept Jake Fromm and not Davis Webb, when Davis Webb's been obviously crucial in this off-season period, been helping the new recruits go through, and actually really during the off-season helped Stephon Diggs actually get acclimatized.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like he can't talk to them during the week, you know? I mean, he's in the facility. They kept Jake Fromm because if you cut him, he will be signed by someone else. Hmm. So are you really willing to just let your fourth-round pick go?
Fifth-round pick.
Still, same thing. Once you get past round three, they're all, you know, coin flips. But, yeah, I mean, would you be – I mean, you wouldn't just let that go. There are a lot of quarterback, you know, weak teams out in the league that would gladly sign him to be a backup somewhere. Oakland's second quarterback is Nate Peterman. So, yeah, I think they would probably have signed Jake Fromm just to compete on there. They probably would. So, aside from him being an asshole, it doesn't bother me that they kept him based off of the draft position. And, you know, the possibility of him being groomed to be QB2, you know, there's no excuse for what he said. So if it's a learning experience for him, then hopefully he really did learn and becomes a better person because of it. People can change.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's being given a second chance. He's being given an opportunity. So. If he blows it, no, I wouldn't be upset if they did cut him. If he says something else stupid, or if he just sucks, cut him. Whatever. There's not a lot for me to be excited about there. It works out. You know,
I think it's a case. So I think I read Sean McDermott actually said how they're going to cut him when they haven't really had a proper chance to evaluate him. All they've seen is him in training camp, so they've not really.
Yeah, you definitely would have wanted to see him in a preseason game because I mean, even though all preseason games are god awful to watch, he would have been a guy to see.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that we signed a few years ago who had a really good camp? Then we traded him to Oakland.
Ah, AJ McCarron. That's probably who you're thinking of.
Yeah, so, I mean, he had a decent enough preseason where we were able to get a draft pick out of him. You know, I don't think Matt Barkley is obviously the long-term answer at QB2. So, you know, it just gives them options. Maybe draft another guy next year, you know. Honestly, it's the Josh Allen show, and let's all be optimistic and hope that he never, knock on wood, gets hurt. So we don't have to worry about or talk about this ever again.
Yeah, I mean, there's two more things I just want to talk about with this roster before we move on. It's obviously people of all this time have actually been clamoring for Trent Murphy to be cut or released, and obviously he's still in there. And also, it was who was it? It was the signing of Andre Smith, only to release him and actually sign him back onto the practice squad. Now, with that Andre Smith one, that's actually kind of a sneaky, really good move by releasing him and actually signing him onto the practice squad. They get that that conditional pick in 2023 back.
Very good. They don't, how about that?
So they don't actually lose a pick now for it. The other point I actually want to put out, I did say it's actually Trent Murphy. Now, obviously, loads of people have been clamoring for the last year and a half to say he needs to be cut, save that money. We're going to reschedule, whatever it is with the contract with Matt Milano. Obviously, he is kept back on the roster. Now, that's obviously caused a bit of diversity, a bit of effect, dividing people, that's the word. But I see it as a good thing because it does shows us that what he actually does with the rookies, especially with AJ Epenesa, is he ready to actually start up and actually take a major, be the first backup to either Addison or Hughes, whereas you've got Murphy in there who can spell it. And as McDermott's been doing, he's been slowly bringing the rookies on all season. We saw that with Ed Oliver last year. We see it again this year with Epinesa, with Davis.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Trent Murphy that is there as a depth player. Of course, his price tag is too high, but it just looks like that will mean that we have to wait until next year to sign Milano. Hopefully he's okay with that. Maybe they have a handshake deal in place because they need to work out the money situation and you need to have Murphy on the roster this year. Next year, if you roll into camp with Hughes, Addison, Epinesa, you probably will want to draft another defensive end probably next year, you know, with Cutting Murphy. Or maybe one of the guys on the practice squad might be ready. Rare that that happens. But, I'm not bothered by it because it's not like we need the money right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the only other thing, obviously, when I get that, I want to talk about, I got that message from you on the Saturday night. We're going to have to change the intro music. We're going to have to change the intro music. He's being cut. And it, all you had to do was just chill and everything would actually be back as it is. And we're actually up.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously it was an overreaction. I knew that they had to cut him to put him on the practice squad.
Next year be the make.
Oh yeah, it's all fine there with Christian Wade.
But let's move on to the next thing. Let's move on to probably the biggest news outside of the roster cutdowns this week is that the contract extension for one Tre'Davious White.
Yep. So the numbers on the deal, 4 years, $69 million or £52 million. 55 mil guaranteed. For context, he is the 54th highest paid player in the league. He makes more money when this contract kicks in. He'll have more money than Big Ben, Laremy Tunsil, Julio Jones, and Stephon Gilmore, barring Gilmore getting restructured. He's the sixth highest paid player out of all the secondary players. 4 years. Excuse me. 4 years isn't too long. When you compare it to that god-awful contract that Josh Norman got for the Washington football team, which was 5 years, $75 million, that was towards the end of Norman's, productivity. So yeah. White will be 30 when this deal is done because he's still got one more year of his rookie deal left. I'm thinking he'll probably be cooked by then. So I think this is a perfect deal. He gets paid for his prime years. We won't get stuck in a contract where we're paying a guy who doesn't deserve it. I love everything about this.
Yeah, I mean, they've said the time down for the next 6 years. Obviously, the 4 years going to come in after his current rookie deal actually expires. So I'm just wondering, is it a case that he's in his last year? I'm assuming that they would have extended.
He's in his last year of the rookie deal now, so we have him for 5 more years total.
Okay, then reporters need to have their fact checked, but they probably know more, a lot more than we actually do on there. But it's always good to see. I mean, it's the way they've actually got it wrapped up and they've actually still kept themselves within the cap limits. I mean, what they're at 18 million under the cap, I think, at the moment I've seen, there or thereabouts. And obviously you've got Milano to do. You've got 2 more years of Allen and Edmonds before they are due their new contracts. And obviously you're going to give that contract to those guys. So it's just the way Bean's actually been playing it. If he doesn't get another nomination for GM of the Year for what he's actually managed to do this year and how he's actually set the Bills up for at least the next few years, I don't know what else he would have to do.
Yeah, exactly. I think it'll all come down to how well Josh Allen does this year. If Josh Allen is, a Pro Bowler, then it makes Bean look like a genius, you know?
Yeah.
Back to Trey White. It's 6 years, including this year. So I wasn't counting this year. So we have him through 2025.
Okay. So, yeah. So then that'd be...
In 2026, he's a UFA. So...
Yeah. Okay. No, that's good. I mean, I say we've timed down for longer for the time being. It's lucky he's now set the market for Ramsey, for Lattimore and all that. And we now don't have to overpay, even though he's worth $100 million to us. We don't have to now overpay and put ourselves in cap hell.
That's a really good point. Setting the market is so important because everything else obviously will be higher than that going forward. To get this in now instead of wait till the end of the year, I think we probably saved ourselves $10 million on this deal, probably.
Yeah.
Like I said, compared to Josh Norman's, which was 5 years for $75 million, this is a great deal.
Yeah. So it's all looking rosy, and word has it that they're actually they are talking to Milano. They actually really want to get something done, whether it be at the end of the season or during the season. We just wait for that, and then that'll pretty much be a spine of our defense actually locked up for at least another good 3 or 4 years. So let's all pray that Bean actually carries on his big baller Bean mentality.
Yeah, I mean, you can't expect to re-sign everyone, but I think that the way this team is built based on, like, relationships, I can see Milano wanting to stay. With what Trey White said over the weekend, you know, I think his interview was Sunday or Monday, I forget what it was. But, yeah, just the way he talked about Buffalo and this team, obviously everyone talks like that about the team that they're signed to, but it really sounds authentic in this scenario. So I hope that trickles down to the rest of the roster and these guys are going to want to stay.
No, exactly. I think it just shows what, as we keep saying, what the culture that Bean and McDermott have actually brought into Buffalo and that people just are starting to buy into it.
Yeah.
So so before we go on to the season prediction and the game-by-game schedule, which we'll go over briefly, got a few questions for you.
Here we go.
And I'll put this out on Twitter as well for everyone else to actually to participate in this. Just don't think about it in too much depth. I've got about 9 quick questions all about this upcoming season and to do with the Bills and the roster. The first one, the most rushing yards.
Goodness. Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Okay. I'm going to write these down whilst we've got him here, because I will make a prediction as well afterwards. So we got Josh Allen.
Want to argue with me about that? No, that's not going to happen. It's going to be Devin Singletary.
Okay, right. So most rushing... Singletary, most receiving yards.
I bet you he gets like 700 yards and Zach Moss gets like 650.
Okay. This rushing, we're not counting receiving and this is just rushing, right? Remember? Yeah. So, most receiving yards.
Diggs.
Okay.
940.
All right. Most sacks.
I want to say Trey Edmonds, but he's too much of a quarterback for the defense. Jerry Hughes, 6.5. I really think that number will be spread out amongst a lot of players. I think a lot of guys are going to have like 6 and 5.
Yeah. Most touchdowns. And we're going to exclude Josh Allen.
It'll be Josh. Are you saying, can I say Josh Allen? He'll have like 27 or 28, you know?
I would take Josh Allen out of it for the throwing capacity. So Josh Allen, we'll include Josh Allen for rushing, but we won't include him for throwing.
Okay. Well, in that case, then I'd probably say Zach Moss maybe gets like 8.
Okay, Zach Moss. The best rookie.
Oh God, who cares? How do you judge that? You know, statistically, I think the only it'll be Epenesa versus the wide receiver. God, what's his name? I always get the two mixed up.
Gabe Davis.
Yeah, I'll probably. Oh, that's tough because it's going to be so hard for Gabe Davis to see targets being like the fifth option. Yeah, let's say Epenesa. I see he gets like four sacks. He makes a few QB pressures. He gets some good run stops.
Okay. So the most underappreciated Bill of the season.
It'll probably be Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley.
I bet you, even if he's not making catches, he's going to attract players to the middle of the field that are covering him on third down, and that might open up stuff for John Brown down the seam.
Okay, last two, offensive MVP.
Josh Allen.
And defensive MVP.
Micah Hyde.
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
I would also say Trey Edmonds. I think that what you're going to see out of Trey White this year is nobody throwing to him. So he's going to be visible most of the year in a good way.
Yeah.
But you have an opportunity for Edmonds to have over 100 tackles, maybe some sacks, maybe some fumble recoveries. But you have Micah Hyde over there, probably going to lead the team, I would say, maybe pass defenses. And probably... I can't say interceptions, but just his ability to make good tackles, smart plays, and lock down anything over the top.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Alex's. And the other one was team record, but we'll come over onto that in a second. But
that now, right?
I better put mine in there. So I say most rushing. I'm actually going to say Zach Moss. I'm going to go different for you on that one. Most receiving yards. I have to agree with you on that one. Say Diggs.
Will he get 1,000 though?
I think he would. I think he could. I mean, John Brown got what, 1,000? Okay. Yeah. He was the main target thrown too. But with the fact that you've got Diggs and Brown able to stretch, and one of them's going to be double teamed at one point, one of them is going to get it, and obviously Diggs, we know what he can do. We've seen him when he went up with Trey White one-on-one in practice, that he can eclipse that 1,000-yard mark.
I think if he does, he'll just do it by like maybe a few dozen yards.
Yeah.
This roster's too deep, and we don't throw enough to have a guy who go for like 1,100.
So my most sacks, I'm going to say Mario Addison.
Okay.
Most touchdowns, I am going to go with Stephon Diggs. Yeah, I think my rookie of the year, it'll be Gabe Davis. Now, I think everyone's going to say he's not going to see that much action. It depends on what DeBall actually does. I think if he goes more widespread and there are issues, because you can get more issues, more injuries with wide receiver than you are going to potentially be with defensive ends on there. But it's also about the scheme. I mean, they can open up Gabe Davis and what he can do with the speed, the strength and the catch. I think he'll have a bit more of an impact than Epenesa will do, because you'll see he's going to be behind Jerry, he's going to be behind Mario. He's even going to be behind Trent Murphy to start with, so he may see the odd games. But who knows, after the season or halfway through the season, he may start getting a little bit more, what do you call it, action. So could actually see that way. Most underappreciated, I'm going to say that it's Jordan Poyer, because he is that good.
Yeah.
Still does not get recognized, and he can make plays at that back end. And him and Hyde, I would, if I could have them both, I'd have them both.
Yeah,
offensive
MVP, player a lot.
Yeah, offensive MVP. I think it is going to be Allen. I think this is the year he really takes off. takes off and actually really, really hits the mark, hits the ground running, and show why they invested the picks in him. And defensive MVP is going to be a hard one, really, for me. I think I'm looking defensive end. I'm looking potentially at Hughes or Addison for it. May sprinkle in Trey White, but
you can't sprinkle a. You got to pick one guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sprinkling in, as in my thoughts, I'm thinking between Hughes and Addison, but in my thoughts, I'm sprinkling a bit of Trey White in there. If I have to put nail down, I'm going to go Addison. I think he's set up for this for this defense. I think he's set up. He knows how McDermott wants to play. He knows the system. He's always been that constant performer. Whatever club he's actually been at, obviously mainly the Panthers. So I would actually say Addison is my my defensive MVP.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this up on Twitter and actually, and let's see what you guys actually think. So I'll put up on Twitter, here's your views, and we'll see where we go from there. So one last thing we got to work on is the season prediction. We're not going to go game by game because I think we'd be here forever doing that.
No, let's go game by game and we'll just say win loss.
Well, I mean, we're not going to go in game by game by depth.
Yeah, we're not going to break it down, obviously. Yeah, we'll be doing that the week of the game.
Yeah, so let's do week one, week two, week three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. I'll split them in half so we have records of it. So Alex, Matt. Okay, week one, Jets.
Well, I did this in a best case, worst case scenario. So let me give you my best case first. We beat the Jets. That's obvious.
Okay.
We beat the Dolphins.
Yeah.
We beat the Rams at home. We beat Vegas.
Yeah.
We're 4-0, and that's beautiful. Tennessee is good, and we're at Tennessee, so that's a loss. Chiefs, loss, even though it's home. Jets win. Patriots win. Seahawks win. Big one. We're at home.
Yeah.
Cardinals win by week.
Yeah.
We're looking real good.
Yeah.
Now the tough part of the schedule. Chargers win. Niners loss, Steelers loss, Broncos win, Patriots loss in New England. I still think we can only split with them. And then we beat Miami to go 11-5 and win the division because the Patriots will go 10-6. So that's my best case scenario. My worst case scenario is 8-8, and we end up losing like 5 in a row at the end of the season. Niners, Steelers, Broncos, Patriots, we can lose all those games. So worst case scenario, 8-8 in playoff bubble.
Okay, right. So 11. So we'll just do the best case scenario at the moment, 11-5. For me, I have to agree with the first four.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Rams would be out of the first four would be the tough one. But I don't see enough in them to actually to cause an upset on there. Mm-hmm. Titans, I actually think they're going to win that.
Okay.
I think we've played them tough. Every game we've played them, they've been tough. It's been a one score game, and
we played them last year before they figured it out, though.
But I think they're going to rely too much on Henry. I don't think they're rolling with Tannehill. I don't think they'll actually they'll try and roll with Henry. If we can halt Henry.
Well, we weren't that good against the run. We were pretty average against the run. But anyway, we're going through this quick. So Tennessee, you're saying win still. Okay.
Yeah. Chiefs, loss. A close loss. Jets win. Patriots win. Seahawks. I've got that down as a loss. Mm-hmm. I just think that we've got to be
at home. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's our only home loss this year. Was it no? No, the
Chiefs is a home loss.
Yeah, no, okay, then that's a win then, because I say I only see us losing one at home, and if I've already put the Chiefs. Yeah.
Okay.
I see us. So Cardinals, I see win. The Chargers, I see win. 49ers, definitely a loss there. Steelers, I see win. This is me being optimistic here. Broncos, I actually see a win. Patriots, a loss. I'm as much as I want it to be win.
Right.
It's I don't think. I think by week 16, 15, 16, I think the Patriots are going to be up and running. And then Dolphins win. So while my three losses, I'm 13-3.
I think you're crazy. Remember, this is still the team that lost to the Browns last year. They just didn't know what they were doing. I know Diggs makes things look good, but I still think there's going to be one, maybe two games in here that we lose that we really shouldn't. Steelers, like the Broncos, like maybe Arizona might be a sneaky loss. The Rams might be a sneaky loss. We're really going to have to clean up what we screwed up last year, like the Philly game and like the Browns game. If we can clean up those two kinds of losses where we made mistakes and we started slow, then I think we can do like 12-4. But I think 11-5 is the most realistic scenario if we do take that next step, but it's a step, not a jump.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I have the Seahawks, the Cardinals, and the Rams as the games where it could swing either way.
Right.
So, let's say 13-3 is my best case. If I could see a loss from one of those, if anything, it'd more likely be potentially the Seahawks than anything else. Maybe it's even the Cardinals and we beat the Seahawks.
Yeah.
But that's where if any loss is going to come to put us 12-4, it's going to be either week 9 or week 10 against those guys.
So, I mean, if you have us at 13-3, that's not only winning the division, that's contending for the number one bye in the playoffs. That's crazy.
I think it's going to be between us, Chiefs, and Ravens for the top two on the byes.
It's only one now.
Well, yeah.
With the new playoffs seeding. So.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a second seed obviously gets the seventh seed, so they get an easier.
Yeah, I mean, making the playoffs is no small feat in the NFL. Yeah. Unless it was that one year where like the Panthers made it at 7-9 or 7-8-1, that was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But they won the division with that record, my God. But anyway, that's it.
That's it. That's
all right.
Post that on the Twitter as well, so you're gonna see a couple of tweets.
Yeah, if you want to know what everybody's season prediction is, tweet us your numbers: 11-5, 12-4, 13-3, 9-7. What do you think?
Yeah. So we've got that. We'll ask you for your rookie picks, so your pick season predictions for individuals. I'll make a note of these and see who comes out on top. Obviously, keep subscribing to this podcast. Follow us on YouTube. We really are putting out some good content, and we've got a load more.
We really need subscribers on YouTube, all right? We're getting like 80 views per show, and we only have 39 subscribers. So please go to YouTube, Buffalo Bills UK. Just subscribe. You know what? Don't even watch the videos. I don't care. Just subscribe.
Alex takes so much time doing it, so just subscribe and don't even watch the videos. It's all good.
You should check out the video, but I mean, I just want that subscribe number to go up. I mean, because the ratio of watches to watches of subscribers is super bad. Like 50-60% of people watching the videos aren't subscribed, so help us out.
Yeah, so check us out on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter, UK_Bills. Follow us on the RWBB_podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Buffalo Bills UK. Search for that. And Instagram, UK_Bills. We're coming up to the season. We're going to have our season preview in a few days. We're going to try and get Remember Jets to actually come on. If not, it's just going to be me and Alex chatting and actually putting down the Jets even more than if we did have a Jet guest. But keep subscribing. And if there's anything else you want to add, Alex?
Nope, that's it.
That's it. So for me and for Alex, it's good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for subscribing, listening. Keep that support going and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? No. That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.